Hello and welcome back to the Audio DT with Reb T, the Audio Devar Torah with Reb T, which we do now as a mini lecture, the show where we talk some time on the Parsha of the week with some practical lessons to keep. We're looking at the idea, we touched on this in the past few years, I like to bring it up again, it's always good to review, even if we saw it last year, always good to reiterate it this year. Looking at the idea of using the word Ekev, we look at the first pasuk, the first phrase in the Parsha of the week, and we're looking at what the words say. We're looking at its Devarim and its Perek Zayin Pasuk Yubet right here in the beginning of the Parsha. V'chaya Ekev Tishma'un. It will be because you will heed the words of Hashem, His laws, and you will listen to them, you will guard them, you will do them, you will guard what Hashem says, and you'll deal with the covenant and the chesed. That's sworn to our forefathers, if you do it, that the Lord your God will keep. If you do what Hashem asks and you take care of His mitzvahs, you take care of His Torah, Hashem will take care of you. That's the first lesson. You do what Hashem asks of you, Hashem will take care of you. You do what Hashem wants, you act like Hashem, Hashem will keep His promise to you, Hashem will take care of you. We're supposed to be godly, we're supposed to follow what Hashem wants. If you take care of the people that Hashem takes care of in the ways that Hashem does, throughout the Torah, many examples. Hashem clothed Adam and Chava. If you clothe the needy like Hashem clothed Adam and Chava, Hashem will make sure to take care of you. If you visit the sick like Hashem visited the sick, Avram Avinu, on his third day after the Bris Milah, which is considered one of the most painful days of circumcision, especially when doing it as an adult, Hashem came to Avram. And Hashem visited Avram. Hashem was Mevaker Chola. So to you should be Mevaker Chola, like Hashem was Mevaker Chola to Avraham. Hashem took care of Moshe. The biggest chesed shalemes, the biggest type of chesed to do for someone, is chesed that cannot be paid back. A chesed shalemes, a chesed, a truthful chesed, can never be paid back. You do a kindness for the dead. That's why I'm always in awe of these Chevra Kadisha. They do amazing, amazing work. It's thankless work. It's amazing work. It's such difficult work. And some people are shomrim. They do stand shmirah. They guard the body once it's first dead until the family has to make arrangements. But the body's not supposed to be left alone for a minute. And there are people that go and they stand as a shomer over the body until the family comes back, until the body can be transported to where it has to go. Also a thankless job, but such an important job. And that's a real chesed shel emes. The family can thank you, but the mace himself, lo alenu, we should never know from such things, the person that is being guarded, that's being cleansed by the chevra, that person can never thank you, but Hashem knows what you did. You do the chesed shel emes, Hashem will make sure to take care of you and give you chesed back. We talk about this a lot on the lecture series, The Message of Chesed, which is now available on all podcast forums. You could search it on the lecture series with Reb T. Not only is it on sheer enjoyment, it's all over on the podcast forums. We're uploading the last few ones until we catch up, God willing. You could find it anywhere on iTunes and Google Podcasts, the lecture series with Reb T. Anyway, back to talking about this idea. So if we're like godly, if we try to act godly like Hashem, we try to emulate Hashem's ways, Hashem gives clothing, Hashem gives money, Hashem visits the sick, Hashem is mesameach chasam v'kala, Hashem buries those who need burying. If we act in a way, if we listen to Hashem's commandments, Ekev, Hashem will make sure to take care of us. But the idea of using the word Ekev, all the commentaries pick up on it. All the commentators see that this is an interesting word to use. Why the word Ekev? Ekev Tishma'un, if you will hearken. If you want to say hearken, why don't you say Im Shemora Temitzvos, Im Aseya Temitzvos? You know, there's so many words you could use that are being reflected in the idea of listening and doing the mitzvot. So why use the word Ekev? So, of course, many commentaries dwell on this, and we're trying to pick up different ideas from the different commentaries. But the first one always good to look at is Rashi himself. The commentaries dwell, and of course, we're using the sources from Chabad.org. They have wonderful stuff. The commentaries, you want to see it inside, you could look at Chabad.org, and you look at the Parsha in depth. They bring the sources to light that we try to talk it out with you here on our Audio DT. So this is an uncommon synonym for because. There's a connection with the word akiv, some spelling, a different pronunciation, which means heal. Rashi right away picks up and interprets it as an allusion to those mitzvahs which a person tramples with his heels. The Torah is telling us to be equally diligent with all of Hashem's commandments, no less with those that seem less significant to our finite minds. I always find it interesting how two diametrically opposed mitzvahs in terms of kal and chamor, in terms of easy and hard, in terms of stringent and lackadaisical, have the same reward in the Torah. We don't know any reward for most of the things in the Torah, but two things that are guaranteed long life are two things that are vastly different in terms of their difficulty, vastly different in terms of how much is involved. You talk about Shiluach HaKein. Torah talks about you're walking on the way and you see a mother hovering over her nest, hovering over her eggs, and you want the egg, you send away the mother before taking the eggs. Why? Because we're a compassionate nation. We're supposed to be compassionate. We're supposed to be godly. We're supposed to be kingly. And if you want something, you need something, try to do it in the most permissible way. That's the whole idea of the mitzvos. Everything is supposed to be kadosh. The whole idea of the marital relationship is taking an element of life, taking a basic form and factor of a marriage and making it done in such a beautiful and holy way. You take the idea of eating and it's done in a beautiful and a holy way. That's the whole idea. We're supposed to be godly and take things and do it in the right way, in a permissible way, as much as possible. So if you have the burning desire, the burning need to have this egg, you want that omelet so badly, and maybe there's a person in the family that needs it, or you want it and you want that egg, you do it in the right way. Send away the mother before taking the egg. Have some compassion on the mother. Don't rip the egg away from the mother's eyes. That is done in a light way. It's a light mitzvah, but it's guaranteed to give lemani aruchun yamecha. It says, it promises, Hashem promises, bli neder, to give long life for doing such a simple act. We actually had the opportunity to do such a mitzvah with the help of our friends who now moved to Florida. There was an egg, there was a nest on the coop next to our apartment back in Brooklyn, in our junior floor apartment. We had a bedroom and a half, beautiful apartment. So we saw an egg's nest, and there was actually an egg there. And would you believe it? We actually, me and my friend, him more than me, but together we shooed away the bird and then we took the egg. I don't remember what we did with the egg, but at least we did the idea of shooing away the bird. But that's a mitzvah that doesn't really come around so much. And if you get the opportunity to do it, you do it. And that is such a cool thing to be able to do. And it's a simple thing, but it's promised to have the reward of long life. What's the other mitzvah that's promised to have long life? Honor your father and your mother. Don't sit in their seat. Help them up when they need helping. Make sure that they're, as they get much, much older, make sure, or even really throughout life, make sure they're clothed properly and they're fed properly and the like. Make sure you check in with them and make sure that you do what you can to support them as they go throughout their life. But when you take care of the parents, you're also guaranteed long life. But these are two diametrically opposite mitzvahs. You have honoring your father and mother is given long life, Hashem says. And Shiluach HaKein also is given long life, because we don't know the reward of mitzvahs in general. But when Hashem says to do something, Hashem tells you to do something, maybe that's the idea. He wants you to be diligent about all the mitzvahs, even a mitzvah that seems kal in your life. And Pirkei Avos explains, treat every mitzvah, do every mitzvah as you can, because who's to say which one is a light one? Who's to say which one is a strong one? And who's to say what's the reward for any of the mitzvahs? Every mitzvah you do, Pirkei Avos explains, leads to another mitzvah, and an avera leads to another avera. And the reward for a mitzvah is a mitzvah. Schar mitzvah mitzvah. Every mitzvah you do, as the famous song by Mordechai Shapiro goes, schar mitzvah mitzvah. And the davar kitzvah, there's no end to doing mitzvahs. The more mitzvahs you do, the more mitzvahs you can do. So we should treat every mitzvah with proper respect. Don't say, that's not really a mitzvah for me. You know, I'm going to take care of the big mitzvah, sukkah. I'm going to build a sukkah. You know, I'm going to make sure to buy the matzah on Pesach. I'm going to make sure to do so and so. But what about the smaller, quote-unquote smaller mitzvahs? You know, on Hanukkah, Maybe I don't have to spend $45 on candles for 8 nights. Maybe I'll just get those candles, those, not the oil lamps, but the candle ones. They're like $5 for the candles. They'll last maybe 20 minutes. But no, Mahajamin and Mahadrin, we should all accept upon ourselves, which really is vastly spread usually. Get those oil ones. It might be $45, but that's the best way to do the mitzvah. Don't trample on that mitzvah. Just because it's a holiday that kind of falls under the cracks, it doesn't get much press, doesn't get much time, although it happens to be personally my favorite holiday of the entire year. I could go on and on about Hanukkah. It's a beautiful thing. We talked about it a couple months ago around the time of Hanukkah. I love Hanukkah, but that might be one of those mitzvahs that are not seem to get as much importance. Shavuos and Pesach, the whole house is cleaned as if it's like 752 mitzvahs, but what about the idea of giving credence to every mitzvah? Who says I need to have the most beautiful Shabbos candelabra? Let me just get one for $10. No, every single mitzvah should get the right amount of press, should get the right amount of time in our minds. Don't trample on the mitzvahs, as Rashi explains. Be diligent with all the mitzvahs. We don't know what their significance are. They really are all significant. There's 613 of them. We should take care of all of them. The Ibn Ezra and the Nachmanides interpret the idea of Akev in the sense of in the end, in the heels of, or in the sense that the heel is at the extremity of the body, the reward being something that follows the action. A similar interpretation is given by Or HaChaim, who explains that true satisfaction and fulfillment comes at the end, the complete fulfillment of all the mitzvahs. So I actually find this very true. When something is half done, when something is not fully complete, I have like tsar, not tsar is the right word, but I have like shploikis, whatever the word is, there's a Yiddish term, that I have antsiness, I have finickiness, that it's not finished. I like things to be done personally. Me, myself, I like when things are finished. If we're in the middle of a job, I can't enjoy it till it's the end. When we had the big project and Hashem allowed us to redo our kitchen with the help of benefactors and the like, when we did that, I had shpilkes until it was fully complete. I like when things are done. We order things. I like it when it comes. When we're building things, when the kid swing set was in the process, which was very stressful over the past couple of weeks in the summer, I had a lot of shpilkes until it was done. So too with mitzvahs. If I'm involved in the middle of an action, I have a lot of shpilkes. Maybe that's not the right word. I can't think of another one. We'll use that as a Reb T-ism for tonight. But I have that not able to feel like it's fully complacent, fully complete until it's actual done. I need to see it to fruition. I don't like when it's half done. I don't like when it's half involved. It should be fully gone to the air. I remember my brother telling me many years ago, don't do things half-butted. Don't do things halfway. Make sure it goes all the way. Maybe to some degree that stayed with me, especially in actions. When we're doing mitzvahs, we want to see it to fruition. We want to see it to completion. If I'm cooking for a family, my wife and I are cooking for a family, I don't feel completeness in the action until we literally hand deliver to the door. So even if I cook the food and the food is sitting in our fridge, I don't have the completion. I don't have the whole heel of the matter done until I literally hand it to them. We should feel like that. Maybe I should feel like that with every single mitzvah we have. Until we fully get it done, shouldn't feel really good. But there is an aspect of the process and involving in the Schar Halicha B'yado, Pirkei Avot talks about. Even if you don't have something done, but you're involved in it, maybe you should feel goodness about it. Maybe you should feel happy about it. But the idea here is we want to see that the actual thing follows the action. We follow through with the action. We follow through with the mitzvah. You say you're going to invite people. Don't forget about it. Do it. If I say that we're going to invite people until they come, until even there's so much preparation involved, and I love the preparation, the cooking and setting up, until they're actually sitting at the table, I don't feel the beautiful fulfillment of Hachnasas Orchem. I need to see things through. It can't be halfway. It has to be fully complete. That's just me personally. Other people might have different things, but it's the idea of following through. The fulfillment comes at the end, the complete fulfillment of the mitzvahs and all the mitzvahs we should be zocha to be able to do. Rabbeinu Bachaya, again, the source is from Chabad.org, sees the idea of Akev as an illusion that the reward we do receive in this world is but a lowly, marginal, heel aspect of the true worth of the mitzvah. This is a beautiful idea of how Pirkei Avos talks about Ha'olam Hazeh Prozder Befnei Ha'olam Haba. Ha'olam Hazeh Ke'erev Shabbos Ve'Ha'olam Haba Ke'Shabbos.
Hatkin atzmacha be'erev Shabbos kidei sheyochal b'Shabbos. Hatkin atzmacha be'olam hazeh kidei shetikanes le'olam haba. Both ideas. You prepare an erev Shabbos so that you can eat on Shabbos. You prepare in this world so you can eat in the next world. Any mitzvah we do, any reward we do, is only a marginal aspect of what we could get in the next world. Any Pirkei explains this more beautifully than we could ever say. Any reward you get in this world is nothing compared to the world in the next world. Yafasha achas, we've talked about this many times. Always good to repeat. Yafasha achas, v'tshuva umasim tovim ba'olam hazeh mikol chayei ha'olam haba. All the actions, all the tshuva you could do in this world is better than all the bliss of the next world. Because again, we talked about this many times, this world is for action and movement, and the next world is for stagnation and reaping the rewards of what you did in this world. You can't move levels in the next world unless someone learns on your behalf or does something on your behalf. But you yourself are stuck at whatever you accomplished in your time in this world. V'yafasha achas bekoras ruach in chayei olam haba mikol chayei ha'olam hazeh. And 1 hour, whatever an hour means, of spiritual bliss in the next world is better than the entire world of this world. Because the next world, we don't even fathom what it means to bask in the divine presence, to be by the kisei hakavod, tachat kanfei hashchina, to be under the wings, to be under the metaphorical presence of Hashem. Because any reward we get in this world is nothing compared to what we could get in the next world. We only feel a heel of the matter. We only see a little bit of reward. It's just lowly, marginal. It's the heel of the true worth of the mitzvahs. Anything we do, we should realize that the full aspect doesn't come until we're in the next world. And then the Baal HaTorah is really cool about gematrias, and he gives a gematriatic explanation. The word akiv is used because it has a numerical value of 172, the number of words in the Ten Commandments. Of course, the Ten Commandments are an eclipsion, if that's a word, another reptiism, of all the ideas in the Torah, of all the aspects of honoring your father and mother, understanding Hashem, not taking his name in vain, and honoring the Shabbos, honoring your parents, not killing, not stealing, not coveting, not being jealous. All of the 10 of them involves all the aspects of the Torah, and it's just the heel of the matter. Thinking about the 10 commandments are the crux, but there's so much to it that we don't know about. The Tzemach Tzedek, the third Chabad Rebbe, sees it as a reference to Ikva de Mashiach, which we're so painfully in the middle of this whole corona craziness here in 2020. So crazy. It's so clearly the footsteps of Mashiach. We should be so zocha that right now Hashem should send us Mashiach. Right now He should build the third base of Mikdash. So there should be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more war, no more loss, and no more terribleness for anyone around us. We should be zocha that Mashiach and the third Beit HaMikdash and the coming of all the exiles together living in the beautiful land of Israel should literally happen right now. Anyway, the Tzemach Tzedek sees it as a reference to Ikvei de Mashiach, the generation which I believe, a lot of us believe, we're literally in the heels of Mashiach. The last generation of the exile is called the heels of Mashiach by our sages because they are the spiritually lowest generation. They were the farthest away from Har Sinai. And every generation is a descent. We are the descent of the generations. If Avram Avinu was on A, level A, we're all the way on level like 52,000 Z. We are the descent of the generations. Every generation descends and descends and descends. And it's also the generation in which the footsteps of Mashiach can already be heard. We can hear it. It's the heel. This is the generation that will hearken to these laws. As Rambam writes, Maimonides, the Torah has already promised the people of Israel will return to God at the end of their exile and will be ultimately redeemed and immediately redeemed. We see such a surge in learning, whether it's the use of podcasts that we try to do here, and that many, many, many other people who are much better at this than I am, they try to do, whether it's through the learning through video means or through Zoom or Google Meet or through any aspect in live in person. There's so many ways. There's such a resurgence of Torah, such a resurgence of learning, and all the yeshivas that sprang up in America and around the world, and so much explosion of Torah using technology and the like, and nowadays, and that hasn't been seen until these days. And so many people realize that we came back to Eretz Yisrael, Mark Twain Lahavdil explains how the land of Israel was desolate when he saw it, only because when the Jews came back, did it start to flourish again. Ben Gurion said that the land, he wants the desert to bloom and flourish, and that's literally what happened. Israel, when the Jews came back, Hashem allowed it to finally be inhabitable again, finally flourish again. And that should be the signs, Akiv, that we're in the heel of the times of Mashiach. We should literally be able to grasp his leg, grasp his entire being metaphorically, physically see him and be part of that. We should all be Zocha to see that. Immediately, from here of Yemen. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe says, our commitment to Torah should be such that it permeates us entirely, so that also our heel, the lowest and least sensitive part of the person, hearkens to these laws, observes them and does them. In other words, our relationship with Hashem should not be confined to the holy days of the year or to certain holy hours we devote to prayer and study, but should also embrace our everyday activities. Indeed, this lowly, quote-unquote, and spiritually insensitive, quote-unquote, part of our life is the foundation of our relationship with Hashem, in the same way that the heel is the base upon which the entire body stands and moves. We should feel like the Torah permeates our every being. When we're walking, we should be like a walking Torah of Hashem. We should be a walking ambassador of Hashem, a walking prince and princess of Hashem. We talk about this a lot. We should dress to impress upon the world. Dress to impress not other people in the fact that we're showing off, but dress to impress that we're literally the king's children, that we're literally princes and princesses. We should realize that we're a walking ability to be a Kiddush Hashem. We're a walking ability to be an ambassador of Hashem. People see kippahs on our heads. People see how the woman should dress modestly and show that's a Jewish person. What do they stand for? They stand for wonderful things. Torah, Emes, Tzedakah, Chesed, and an Or LaGoyim. We should be a kingdom of priests and ministers to the world, that we should really permeate ourselves, that we're literally walking, that our whole body, not just our heel, we're not stamping on anything, but we're walking proudly with an upright, dignified manner, that our whole being is permeated with Hashem, not just some hours of the day, not just when we go to shul for an hour, not just when we come to shul for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and the Moadim and the like. We should go to shul, we should be zochah to all go in person, the COVID should go away, but when we go all the time, it should be permeating our very essence, our very being, that we are fully involved in the Torah, not just the heel, not just some aspect, some bottom part of our being, but every aspect of ourselves should be fully involved with the idea of being a Torah lifestyle, a true ambassador of Hashem. That's the idea of why Akiv is used. So many different beautiful aspects of looking at the word Akiv, and we should be Zocha to incorporate all these ideas together to really understand the heel of the matter, that when we take all these lessons together, we should be Zocha to see and bring Mashiach and the third base of Migdash speedily in our days. May that be today. Join us next time as we talk the audio DT with Reb T, and I'm your host, Reb T.